Welcome to the Pub Date Podcast, the show where two book broads discuss what should happen before, during, and after your book publication date. Brought to you by Broad Book Group, with your hosts Vanessa Campos and Jen Dorsey.
Hello, welcome to the Pub Date Podcast. Vanessa, happy Friday and happy holidays.
Happy Friday, happy holidays. I'm so excited today. It's the last, very last recording of 2021, and it's a good one.
It is a good one. We are going to have so much fun today. First of all, I have to say, I cannot believe the year that we have had.
Oh my gosh.
At Broad Book Group. It has been crazy. It has been wonderful. We started this podcast. We met Paul, our awesome producer, and we're having so much fun doing the show and just meeting clients. And I don't know, it's been great. I feel really, really lucky that we've had this awesome year.
Same. I'm just going to echo that. I was walking over, you know, down the neighborhood this morning right before this podcast. And I was like, you know what? I'm happy. This is good.
It's good,
which is really weird because it's a weird time.
It is. It's a very weird time, but that's okay because you know what you can do during a very weird time is you can do retail therapy.
Yes.
That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about some last minute holiday shopping recommendations, all book focused, of course, because we are us and that's what we do. So, you know, I don't know about you, but I buy books for everybody, whether they want them or not.
So, yes.
Folks, you're getting books from me this year. Surprise. Spoiler alert. let's talk about that for a little bit. We've got some favorites. We're going to share those with each other today. I cannot wait to hear yours. Where should we start?
Okay. So obviously let's start nonfiction because that's really where we are. I try to stay as far away from business books, but I can't.
It's a sickness.
It is a sickness. But I will admit my fiction list this year was way longer than my nonfiction. So, all right. What's on your nonfiction list, Jen?
All right. Let's start with that. And we'll preface this by saying we're going to talk about our written nonfiction and fiction books of the year. And then we have very specific recommendations for your shopping needs. So
yes,
we're going to cover as much as we can. All right. So for nonfiction, I too, when I'm reading for myself, even though I read a lot of business books because that's a lot of what we do and that's our past and you know, our present and probably our future too, just because that's who we are. I don't read a ton of them, but I do have a couple that I want to, well, one specifically that I want to mention, and I don't even know if I call it a business book, but that's Betting on You by Lori Rudiman. She is great. We're Twitter acquaintances. She just really wrote a fantastic book about how to like stop and take a pause. And, you know, if you're kind of angsty about your job right now, or you're looking to make a change, you need to start with fixing you first before you go out and look for a job. So I love that. I think that's a really great mindset to be in. So A plus to Lori. I love the book. The other one in that category, I would say, is Right Within.
Yes.
By Minda Hearts. Minda's fabulous. We're going to hopefully have her on the show in the new year, and we'll be excited to talk to her. She's the author of The Memo. Right Within is also for Black women in business, just about kind of, you know, how to get right within, how to kind of handle all of the slings and arrows that are thrown at Black women, especially in the business world. So I think those two are kind of my top two in that business category. And then I kind of went memoir this year. I went on a memoir binge. So my two faves in that nonfiction category are Somebody's Daughter by Ashley Ford and Unbound by Tarana Burke. These just, I don't even know where to start.
Such good things. I haven't read them yet.
They're so good. Ashley Ford is a fellow Hoosier girl. I'm a Hoosier myself. And so she writes a lot about, in the book, just what it's like to be a Black woman in Indiana, which is a hard place, I would assume, to be a Black woman. She's just had an amazing life. She's a beautiful writer. She's a beautiful soul. And I loved the book. It broke my heart and mended it at the same time, if that's even possible. she just has a
good writer,
very good writer. And then Unbound by Tarana Burke is kind of in that memoir category as well. She's the founder of the Me Too movement and just has so much important stuff to say. And, you know, likewise, it just lifted me up out of places that I was kind of in, and I don't know, just really spoke to me. So those are my tops. How about you?
Okay. I also have Right Within. I haven't opened it yet because I'm so afraid of what I'm going to discover about myself. So that's going to be, you know, the week between Christmas and New Year's so that I can start the year right. Within myself. So I would say for me, nonfiction, I kind of did, and looking at my list, I did a little bit of introspective, like, why am I so angry? Why am I so feeling this way? So I gravitated toward Three Women by Lisa, Tadeo. Mm-hmm. And there's so many mixed emotions as you read this book that I actually had to put it down and pick it back up so many times. And like, I can't, I felt so much pain. I felt so, I don't know, like it really, these stories break you of these three women. And she does a really beautiful job of bringing just the humanity of it all to your page. And it's just, it broke me. If you want to be broken for a little bit, read it. The next one, and this one I kind of bounced between the book and the audiobook, was Rage Becomes Her by Soraya Shamali. And I'm going to butcher all the names because the Rage Becomes Her is an exploration of why we as women get boxed in. And I'm already becoming very angry about it because I also had to put this book down a few times and I was so angry. And it probably didn't help that I was listening to it on my way into work, my 9 to 5. And it was just like, you know, just like you had mentioned, all of these books do the really good job of kind of breaking you apart and making you look inside of yourself before you build yourself back up. And I think that that's, I was going to say the type of year that we've had, but I realize that we're going into year 3 of the pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah, the type of years we've had.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel that needed a little bit of, you know, some escapism. So let's talk about fiction.
Yeah, for sure.
What's on your fiction list?
Okay, well, I mean, I definitely have a theme, but probably that's just because of who I am. I mean, we all have our own things, right, that we love to read. And so I'm trying really hard to break out of that. But I always come back to English stuff and mystery stuff and creepy college campus stuff. Ooh. And nuns. I don't know. It's a bizarre combination. So I've got some of those on my top list here. So first, I loved a book called A Peculiar Combination by Ashley Weaver. This is a fun book. It's about a woman safe cracker. She's a thief. This is in the 40s. You know, it's in the height of the Cold War, or not the Cold War, World War II. And she's cracking safes, and then she gets recruited by the British to go and crack some Nazi safes and, you know, help with the war effort. So it's just a really fun mystery 40s read. I just loved it. It's just fun. And I hope that she writes more for this character. I think she's supposed to. So I love that. Also very Britishy is The Mystery of Mrs. Christie. So if you are an Agatha Christie reader, or if you are even familiar with her, you know, I would start with like Murder on the Orient Express. If you've seen the movie, it's a great movie. Both the old version and the new version, but this is about what happened when she disappeared. She disappeared once in real life. This really happened. Agatha Christie just poof, she disappeared. And it turns out that she like ran away to a spa to get away from her husband.
All right.
It was fabulous. So this is sort of a fictional telling of what that might have looked like and what happened when Agatha Christie disappeared. So it is fiction, but you can also read some great nonfiction stuff about that event and that incident. But this is just kind of fun lark type of a book on that. Loved it. So one that I know we both loved was The Maidens.
Oh my God, yes. I'm still shook from that.
Right? So if you love The Secret History by Donna Tartt, you will love this book. And The Secret History is my all-time favorite fiction book because it's the weird creepy campus thing. It's creepy campuses and secret societies and people doing wrong by other people and professors and students and doing things they shouldn't be doing together.
Oh yeah.
It's all of that. And so The Maidens it's got that Donna Tartt vibe to it. I really enjoyed it. It's a much faster read than The Secret History. So if you dug into The Secret History and you're like, ooh, this is too dense, start with the main, then go back to Secret History. I really loved it. So that was the other one I liked. And then finally, Matrix by Lauren Groff, which has been getting a ton of press. She's made all the lists. She's on Barack Obama's list this week for one of the best books. This is about a prioress, which is a nun who goes to take care of other nuns. And I'm going to pull up the description because I can't even remember all of it. She was cast out of the royal court by Eleanor of Aquitaine. She wasn't marriage worthy. So she's 17 and she's sent to England to be the new prioress of an abbey. And the nuns are in crisis. And it's just, there's just a lot going on in this book. I have not finished it yet, but I am really enjoying it. So those are mine. Nuns and creepy things and mysteries. What about you?
I think we have a theme here where we're talking about creepy things and mysteries.
Yeah.
I came across this book. I have no idea how it got on my list, but it's Bosa Wells by Gabriela Alemán, who is, I believe she's an Ecuadorian writer, and this was her first full-length book that was translated in English. It's a small town with corrupt politicians, violent gangs, women are disappearing, no one's doing anything about it, and there's a little bit of some supernatural stuff going on.
Cool.
It's a novel, short read, thriller. I love it. I loved it. It was definitely worth it. And I need to start exploring more writers in Latin America because it was mind blowing. Next, this one was on the list of, there's a podcast that we listen to that I can't think about the name of it. And I believe you're connected to them and they read off all the books.
Oh gosh. Now my brain's gone.
Book Squad.
Oh, Book Squad Goals. Yes.
Book Squad awesome. Goals.
Hey, Book Squad Goals.
Hey.
Hey, Susan and team. How are you?
They literally were the reason why I got into all of these books that I'm about to like go off and read. And I will say that I definitely I enjoyed listening to their critique, but I think I disagreed with a lot of them. The one that I really, you know, hooked me on based on their podcast was Milk Fed by Melissa Broder. Mm-hmm. And that one was really interesting. It talks about this. It follows this woman who has a very difficult relationship with her mother, has issues with eating, and is part of this Jewish Orthodox sect of the religion, and ends up that she finds herself when she falls in love with a woman who she's not allowed to fall in love with.
I love that.
That one was great. Oh my God. Alyssa Cole's When No One Is Watching. If you haven't picked it up, pick it up. It's like, it's got history. It's got gentrification. It has people being experimented on. And whoa. It's insane. And I can't wait for it to be a Hulu series or a Hulu movie or a Netflix original, because it really needs to be one. The next one was Luster by Raven Lalani. And I picked that one up because it follows a woman of color, Black woman, in book publishing. And it's her relationship with superiors, getting involved in somebody who is really her boss. Like figure, and then ended up having to live with them and his wife and their adopted daughter who happens to also be Black, and their connection. And it's a lot of, I don't know, it kind of crushes you. I'm into books that crush you.
You got a theme this year.
I got a theme. I wanted to be crushed. Then I, you know, this one was another recommendation, The 7.5 Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle.
Oh, and that's a great cover, by the
way.
Oh my
God.
That's a beautiful cover.
It's so Art Deco. It's so wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I had to stop it and go back and refigure. I'm like, okay, so who is this person now? So the ending it just comes out of nowhere. It's like 100 Years of Solitude a little bit, where history repeats itself, but it's not, it ends up being something that you didn't even think about. So it's almost like a simulation of torture and having to figure out who done it in order to escape this thing. And you have to read it. I mean, I know you've read it, but it's a must read. It's a fun read. It makes you think, it makes you stop. If you're listening to it, you may have to go back a few times.
Agreed.
Those are my lists. A lot of whodunit, a lot of escapism for us this year.
That's okay. That is okay. This was a year that called for escapism, I think.
Yes.
100%. All right. I love those. I love those regs. Yay us. Look at us building this little library. So those are our favorites. But we also know that you can't just go and buy books for yourself, even though you should. Sometimes you have to buy for other people. So we have compiled a little list of interesting people to buy for. So we're going to talk about that. And if we don't get through them all, we'll definitely put all this in the show notes and maybe do a little blog post about this too. So I will, since it's my turn, I'm going to kick it off for the poetry lover in your life. There are people who just sit down and love that poetry. I've got a couple of great ones here. These are short. They're pithy, great stocking stuffers. The Hill We Climb by the amazing Amanda Gorman. This is the poem that she read at the inauguration for President Biden in January. It is a beautiful, beautiful piece of writing. It's an even better piece of spoken word, but they've released it in a small hardcover that's perfect for gifting. So I love that one. And then my other favorite, this is maybe for the feminist poetry lover in your life. I Hope This Finds You Well by Kate Bear. And we've talked about Kate Bear before. We love her stuff. What Kind of Woman was her first book of poetry. This is also a small one. This is really interesting though. She's taken emails and blog posts that are, and comments from people like in the comments section of various articles and stories. And she's flipped them on their head and deleted stuff to turn the words that are left into poems that kind of, it's very intriguing. I just thought it was really cool and really fun. I'm going to send you a copy because you're going to love it.
Oh, I'm excited.
That's my poetry lover. What do you have? Who do you want to recommend for?
I want to recommend, and this could be for either a teenager that is a Disney lover or an adult who is a Disney lover, which is guilty. Here I am. There is a series of books from Disney. I think it's Disney Hyperion, and it's the Twisted Tale books. It's the What If series for all of the Disney books. And right now, I have Part of Your World, which my favorite Disney movie, Little Mermaid, for so many reasons. And it's on my to be read list. And that's just, I'm excited. Have you read any of them?
No, the kids have some and they're really cool books and they really enjoy them. So we're big Disney people too. And we're gearing up for a big trip, hopefully knock on wood in the summer. So we'll have to read some in advance of that.
Yes, definitely. Okay, so I have another one, and this one is something that it's been on my list for the sommelier in your family, or the one that wants to pretend to be, because we all have that person in our family.
There's always that one, yeah.
So this book is a really great gift book. It's 99 Bottles, A Black Sheep's Guide to Life-Changing Wines by Andre Houston Mack. It's illustrated, it's four color, it's a hardcover, it's beautiful. And it offers advice on wines that aren't necessarily on most people's lists. So it takes you out of that comfort zone. And I love his background because he didn't start off as being a wine critic or winemaker. I think he's actually started corporate and decided, hey, I'm going to go after this passion of mine. And he makes it really easy to love wines that you didn't think that you could love. And he has this really cool series on YouTube with Bon Appetit called World of Wine with Andre Mack. Check it out.
Oh, I love that idea. Kind of a twofer there. I dig it.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
Here's someone that a lot of us have to buy for. And that is your uncle who loves war.
Oh, yes. There's or your father-in-law who loves war.
Any of the older dudes in your life, man, they love war. They love the military. They love all that stuff. And I love them for it. But you got to get them a little bit out of their wheelhouse. Yes. So get them away from those Bill O'Reilly books. Let's talk about a better book. And that is The Splendid and the Vile, a saga of Churchill family and defiance during the Blitz. This is a big beast of a book. It's by Eric Larson. So if you remember Devil in the White City, which was about the serial killer at the Chicago World's Fair. Excuse me. That's Eric Larson. And he's got a really beautiful way of just crafting these real life stories and telling you the background, just digging deeply into a topic. So this is all about Churchill and what was going on during the Blitz period. So I love it. I picked it up for actually my mom, who loves military history, believe it or not. And she's not a big war person, but she loves anything World War II. So she really just plowed right through it. So that's a really good one. My other person that you may have to buy for, this is sort of related, is for your dad, who only reads Brad Thor novels or or only reads Carl Hiaasen novels. You know, they love those paperbacks. They love those the mass market paperbacks, which nothing wrong with them. But let's bring them out of their box a little bit. And I think one great way that you can do that and give them something new to try is to get them started on the George Smiley novels by John le Carré. And Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy is a really great one to start with. That was a movie a few years ago. Gary Oldman is in it. Benedict Cumberbatch is in it. Tinker Tailor is kind of the one everybody knows, but there's a whole series of George Smiley novels that kind of digs into that British spy world. And they're beautifully written. They are slow burn. So I'm going to preface it with that. They're not like boom, 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 action packed. They're really character building and kind of stepping slowly into the topic. But man, once you get into them, they are just fantastic.
Ooh, I'm interested in that. I'm really interested in the history. I love anything World War II. I watch it all. And then that's just my secret. That's my secret. But let's talk about another big, just this big phenomenon that's happened over, I don't know, maybe because I turned mid-30s. For anybody who is obsessed with true crime.
Yes.
That is all I watch now. Check out Savage Appetites, True Stories of Women, Crime, and Obsession by Rachel Monroe. This one explains why we as women are obsessed with them.
Interesting.
The good, the bad, the gruesome is all covered in there. So it's a little bit, again, with the whole, like, why do we do the things that we do and breaking it all down? It's really, really good read. And it just kind of captures you. And she goes into it like, are we the detective type? Are we the serial killer type? But it's a really good read for that person who is just super obsessed with true crime.
Ooh, and you could pair it with Stay Sexy and Don't Get Murdered.
Ooh.
The book that goes along with that podcast. That'd be a nice little gift pack to put together.
Ooh, I'm into that. Okay. Now, this one is a little bit selfish. So I have this little secret that every year I buy the Astro Twins yearly book. The Astro Twins are literally these twins who are astrologers and kind of talk to you about love and career. It's my escapism. Everything is escapism for me. But it's my 2022 horoscope guide, and it kind of walks you through, you know, like what your year is going to look like, how to prepare yourself for things and based on the moon. And yeah, I'm a millennial. It's okay. But if anyone who is out there has a millennial in their life who's figuring ish out, there's another astrologer that I really got into, and her name is Hani Nicholas. And she wrote, "You Were Born for This, the Astrology for Radical Self-Acceptance." A lot of reasons why you do the things that you do. All you need is your birthday and your time of day and where you were born, and then you're all set. She's got an app. She's got this whole thing. So if you have the time on your hands to try to figure it out, you know, it's kind of fun. And you know, you take it with a grain of salt, but it's kind of like my deep, dark secret.
Ooh, oh my gosh. I'm going to have to pick that up. I need to know more about what house my moon is in and all that stuff. Cause I don't,
I get confused all the time. I have a book and I wrote this down, and I'm going to try to make that like my hobby, but it's really confusing.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, Astro Twins.
Well, they will help you. They'll help you figure it all out. I like that.
Yeah.
I've got a couple. We cannot leave out the kids. Because you know, we can't leave out kids. It's kind of their holiday. So, well, maybe not, but I have to buy for kids. So I have been perusing the bookshelves a lot lately for my kids and other people's kids as well. I've got a couple here. For a kid who is too old for picture books, but they are not yet ready for like Rick Riordan and the bigger chapter books, I want to recommend the Zeus the Mighty series. This is such a cute book series. It's kind of right in that third and fourth grade level, you know, kids who are just ready, but not, they're ready to read more, but not yet for the big stuff. So these are just kind of fun little imaginings of different Greek gods and goddesses and what they're up to and some of the more classic stories, but they throw them in some new situations too. And you can listen to Nat Geo's Greeking Out podcast to go along with this. National Geographic does so much cool stuff for kids, and Greeking Out tells a lot of the cool Greek mythology stories for that age level too. So that's a really fun series. For your older kiddo, if you've got an LGBTQA kid or teen, I think You Should See Me in a Crown by Leah Johnson is an absolute must read. It's a wonderful book. She's also a fellow Hoosier, as a matter of fact, I believe. Really great writer. It's just it's a wonderful, heartfelt book that kind of touches the heart, I think, and especially for, I think parents should read it too. Just fantastic. And then Cinderella is Dead by Colin Baron is a fun reimagining of the Cinderella tale for an LGBTQ teen or tween audience. So those are both really, really fun for that crowd.
Oh, love that. Love it. Love it. Love it. I love these reimagining things of older books and tales. So I have one last one. And this one is for any bookish parent who maybe just became a parent, their kid's starting to read. It is called Born to Read, Our First 5 Years in Books. And it has recommendations. So it's basically a journal that you can jot down your firsts with your kid. It starts off with ages 0 to 1, 3 to 5. It has a lot of diverse book suggestions, and you could just kind of go along with it. There are questions that you can ask your child as you're reading the books, and you can kind of jot this down, and it kind of becomes a baby's first, but for the bookish parent, I loved it. Okay, one more. For the aspiring author who's almost done with their first book, I highly recommend Before and After the Book Deal by Corny Mom.
Yes.
And she does such a good job of breaking it down for the author, just anybody who is on that side of it. And she tells it like it is. She asks the questions, all her questions are there. They're likely your questions. And she shares her experience with you. And I thank her for the book because it does bring that. It shines a light into all of the mysteries of book publishing from that perspective.
100%. I agree. I will super fast throw out my last two. For the Foodie in Your Life, World Travel and Irreverent Guide by Anthony Bourdain and Lori Wolliver, who she worked with him for all the years that he traveled and did his show and did a cook's tour and all the other stuff that he did for CNN. And just a really beautiful, big, dense book all about the travels that they had together. And just, you know, it makes you miss him even more because he's no longer with us, but it's a really nice gift. I love that book. And then finally, for you, Vanessa, and for me, because we deserve it, The Drunken Botanist, The Plants That Create the World's Best Drinks.
Yes.
Amy Stewart. Cap off the year with a cocktail. It tells you everything behind how drinks were made and what plants were used to make them. It's just a beautiful, cool, gorgeous book. It's a wonderful book to gift people, but more importantly, maybe to gift to yourself when you're having that post-holiday cocktail. So that's it for my recommendations.
Paul,
can I jump in and offer one last thought here?
Yes.
Is it too early to pre-order the first imprints coming from the Broad Book Group here in 2022? Is it?
Ooh. Trick question, Paul. I mean, you
know, there's only good. It's a limited run. I understand. So people might want to get in early. They don't know what the titles are yet, but there's some stuff coming here.
That's a very good preview for 2022. We don't yet have them up on the site or on Amazon, but yes, you can be looking forward to some Broad Book Press books in the fall of 2022.
There you go.
Yes, we're excited for that. Yeah. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah. Thanks for the plug, Paul.
Thought I'd throw that in there. And I have to admit, I'm one of those crazy military history guys. I'm your uncle who wants a history book. I got stacks of history books. My dad was a bomber pilot in World War II, my late father, and that just imbued me and everybody in my generation with this fascination with World War II and everything that came after that here. So I got tons of those books. I could rebook some. I could re-gift some of those to you. I should start re-gifting away or creating a military history museum or something.
Yes, you need it. A book haul.
Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. A book hall.
It's a book hall where you list all the books that have spent enough time on your bookshelves and you give them to a good home and somebody who's going to appreciate them.
What a great idea. I've mm-hmm. never heard of that. Do people do that? You just put it up and then somehow you get to pick and choose from other people's collections? Because I really do have tons of these books that I haven't read in years. And I thought, what am I going to do with them? My daughter doesn't want them. You know, I'm just
gonna... Ooh, that's a good question. I think we could probably talk about that in our next episode. There's a lot of things that we could do to pay it forward next year. And I think that we should talk about book deserts.
Yeah. Yes.
Ooh, I like that whole idea. In fact, it was, this may be a weird aside and I'm going down a rabbit hole here, but I hate to admit it. I like the show Sex and the City. And when it was on, I know guys aren't supposed to say that, but I thought it was just clever and cute. And I didn't get it. It was a world I've never seen before, clearly, you know, the shoes and handbags and stuff. But they were this snarky kind of girls making it through New York. And they talked about in the reboot, the new one that's come out, how they are consciously, the people who were the costumers on the show purposely did not just pick new clothes. They went mm-hmm. and picked thrift shows because they said there's mm-hmm. kind of the general ethic of redoing stuff, reusing stuff, even if it's expensive stuff, redoing it, reusing it. Why does it all have to be use it once? I read right. a book once and then I throw it away or I stick it in a shelf forever. How do you repurpose stuff that had value to you that might have value to others?
Yeah, I love that. We should do that with books. I think we can come up with a ton of ideas to share with people on how to clean out their bookshelves and yeah. spread a little bit.
Because otherwise,
that way.
What happens to old books when, like, I hate to say it, when my father mm-hmm. died, I threw them away or gave them away. I mean, but it was just, mm-hmm. I just went down to the local library and said, here's a giant piles of books that he had that I wasn't interested in.
Yes. And libraries, donations, those are great, great options. I will say that the worst part of my job working in book publishing was pulping. Mm-hmm. It was ugly. Right. That is not my favorite.
Chopping them back up again here. Because, yeah, I mean, there are tons and tons of books. There's no shortage of books coming out. And nobody ever thinks about what happens to old books. Where do old books go to die? Do they just go to
die? We'll uncover it next okay. year all right. on the Pub Date Podcast.
All right. Thank you for all you've done. This has been a great show. And we've gotten a lot of reaction to it. And I just want to come in and say thank you for this. And I look forward to really the titles that you're going to come out with. And hopefully some conferences next year with OC Talk Radio about writing books.
Absolutely. We just feel really excited and lucky to be working with you. So have a great holiday. Have yes. a wonderful end of your year. And next year, we are going to do all the things together. Absolutely.
All right. Yes. Well, take us out. Give us the extra.
All right. All right. That's been Pub Date Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks to our producer, Paul Roberts. Thanks to our executive producer, Emily Carpenter-Polskamp of Little Red Communications. And we will see you next year.
Bye.
We hope that you gained some valuable insights into the world of book publishing. Head over to broadbookgroup.com to learn more about us and all our services. And be sure to check out all our social media @BroadBookGroup. Until then, keep publishing.